From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, July 18th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with Natalie Moore about Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.'s work during his time as leader of the Rainbow Push Coalition. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District was awarded $6.6 million to purchase low to zero emission buses. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
Senator Dick Durbin visited the MTD facility to celebrate the steps taken to reduce emissions in the bus fleet. He says the fact that this is being done so close to the University of Illinois gives him hope that future generations will be inspired by it moving forward.
They're setting the example here in this MTD. They're leading our state, and frankly, they're leading the nation.
The grant will help with the purchase of 10 electric hybrid buses, replacing the 4 diesel buses that were retired in May. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
Illinois is running out of time to update statewide emission standards before it starts running afoul of federal guidelines. Alex Degman reports.
Right now, Illinois allows facilities with emission permits to go beyond their pollution limits during startup and shutdown events or if there's a malfunction. The so-called SSM exemption is in place to mitigate potential punishment following severe weather or other unforeseen disasters. But the Federal Clean Air Act does not allow such exemptions. A panel of lawmakers that controls rulemaking in the state convenes this morning to talk about it ahead of an August 12th deadline. That's when the EPA requires an implementation plan. If the deadline isn't met, any new or modified emission permits would be more strict, and the state could eventually lose out on federal highway funding. I'm Alex Degman.
A new study finds that 63% of Great Lakes beaches were closed to swimming for at least one day last year due to water contamination. Noah Jennings reports.
The Safe for Swimming study written by Environment America and the Frontier Group finds that 95% of Illinois beaches tested were closed at least one day. The study identifies stormwater runoff and sewage overflow as two sources of fecal contamination. But Tony Dutzik, who co-authored the study, says the increase of extreme weather events is also at play.
These are issues we're going to have to be dealing with. You know, if we set high standards for the quality of the water at our beaches, if we do a good job of investing in infrastructure to reduce the impacts of things like heavy rain events, then, you know, we can make progress in cleaning up our water.
Dutzik recommends anyone heading to the beach first look for any health advisories from their city. Noah Jennings, WBEZ News.
Abortion rights activists rallied outside a crisis pregnancy center in downtown Chicago this weekend. They accused centers like Aid for Women of using deceptive practices to steer patients away from abortion or concealing their religious affiliation. Lisa Bottisfor is with Reproductive Transparency Now.
People visit them going for a free pregnancy test, a free ultrasound, for free counseling or consultations, not realizing that the people inside have already decided that they should absolutely not have an abortion.
Aid for Women could not be reached for comment. The center says on its website it does not provide abortion care or referrals, but it gives pre-abortion screening and other services. A bill on Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk would allow people to sue centers if they believe they were given deceptive information about abortion care. Still to come, we'll learn about Reverend Jesse Jackson's work during his time as leader of the Rainbow Push Coalition. That story coming up next on 217 Today.
In the PBS series D.I. Ray, Detective Inspector Rachita Ray must deal with biases within her department while she investigates her first homicide. As she delves into the honor killing of a young Muslim man, Ray journeys into the shady world of organized crime. Ray is also forced to confront old wounds and the difficulties of being a British Asian policewoman. The 4-part drama is available to stream on WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch this and other mysteries at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Reverend Jesse Jackson is stepping down from his role as president of the Rainbow Push Coalition. He announced his resignation over the weekend at the annual Rainbow Push Convention. Jackson founded the civil rights group in 1971. Claire Lane speaks with WBEZ's Race, Class, and Communities editor, Natalie Moore, to learn more about the Reverend and his work.
In his farewell remarks, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. stressed that he was resigning, not retiring. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease back in 2017. How much did his health play into this decision to step down?
I would say that is the reason that he's stepping down. On Friday, when this news was first breaking, his son, Congressman Jonathan Jackson, said that health was a factor. But if you saw Reverend Jackson, you've seen that he's been in a wheelchair. You could see that his speech has been affected by Parkinson's. Now, that has not stopped him. He has still been out and about, but he has certainly slowed down because of the disease at age 81.
Reverend Jackson has named Dallas minister Dr. Frederick Haynes III as his successor. What do we know about him?
He is a senior pastor of Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas. He is the son and grandson of pastors, and he is someone who is committed to social justice through his ministry. He has been recognized by the Obama White House for some of his work. A lot of people speak very highly of him, and he says that he is a student of Reverend Jackson.
Let's take a step back for a second to talk about the history of the Rainbow Push Coalition. Can you give us some background on how it began?
The origins go back to 1966 when Martin Luther King appointed Jesse Jackson Sr. as the first director of Operation Breadbasket. And that was a movement that grew out of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But then in 1971, Reverend Jackson changed it to PUSH, which was People United to Serve Humanity. And then that evolved into the Rainbow Coalition. Jesse Jackson ran for president in 1984, in 1988, creating this Rainbow Coalition. And then by 1996, it was called Rainbow Push. And a lot of the work that was done was in the early days. Operation Breadbasket was about grocery stores and hiring of African Americans. Rainbow Push has taken on the tech industry, corporations, affirmative action, all sorts of movements that affect Black people in this country. But Reverend Jackson has also been international. He has found ways to try to broker peace deals around the world. And Chicago has been the base, and Rainbow Push's headquarters are right on the south side on Drexel Avenue.
Right. And given, you know, Chicago is this base, Jackson's departure from Rainbow Push marks the end truly of an era. What's been the reaction?
I would say a lot of tributes to him, a way to give him flowers. And yesterday at Apostolic Church over in Woodlawn was the official transfer of power, if you will. Dr. Haynes was there, and also Kamala Harris, vice president, and she talked about having a bumper sticker for Jackson when she was in school in the 1980s and really praised him for his work over the years. So it was quite the tribute to him.
That's Claire Lane speaking with WBEZ's Race, Class, and Communities editor, Natalie Moore. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 81 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Alex Degman, Noah Jennings, Anna Savchenko, and Claire Lane. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.